Hello everyone and welcome to episode 3 of the Sophie May Fitness podcast. Today I'm joined by Faye Sheridan, who is from Perth, Australia, the same as me. Obviously we're opposite sides of the world at the moment. But really excited to chat to Faye, who is all about the menstrual cycle, the periods, healthy cycles, maintaining healthy cycles, ovulation and all of this kind of stuff as well. So really looking forward to discussing the menstrual cycle today. Faye, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
No worries.
I'm happy to be here.
I'm so happy to chat to you. And who are you? What do you do? What do you stand for? Let's have a chat about just all about you.
Good question. So I guess I first started out in the industry as a personal trainer, and now I've gone more into the health side of things. So my title, if we want to put a title to it, is integrative health. Women's health practitioner, and it's basically integrating everything. So mind, body, training, nutrition, the menstrual cycle, I kind of embody all of that when I'm working with females trying to get their health back on track. So that's a bit about me. I do own a gym with my partner as well in Perth. Owner of Cycle Sisters is the name of my
little business.
Women's health business. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much me.
I think that's the thing though. Like a lot of us tend to start out being personal trainers, obviously, because when you go through being a personal trainer, you don't really get taught anything behind the scenes. So I think a lot of the time, most of us start out as personal trainers and then figure out what we actually are interested in, what we like, which path we want to go down. Because there's obviously so many different paths. You know, a personal trainer is, you can go in any direction, whether it's rehab, physio, you know, actual sort of like blood work and hormonal health and stuff like that. And a lot of the really, really good integrative health coaches and functional medicine coaches did start out as personal trainers. So
they did.
And I think both of us as well have kind of been on similar journeys, which is awesome to chat about as well. So yeah, I think it's awesome that we kind of like start off as a PT going into thinking like, oh yeah, we'll train people. And then you're like, wow, okay, there's a lot more behind here. There's a lot more with the body. And I personally find the body and how it works like so interesting. And I think, you know, you probably do obviously do as well with the women's health side of things too. So let's dive in and quickly chat about, let's start with training and nutrition around the cycle, because I know this is quite a big topic. We both know that women are different, but how do you help your clients around their cycle, or what do you kind of stand for around this time and how to integrate, you know, training and nutrition along with your cycle?
Awesome question. So I guess first and foremost, I treat each female individually because so many women experience their menstrual cycle differently. For sure. And for some women, I may have, you know, women that their strength decreases in that, 5 days leading up to their bleed.
Yeah.
And then I've got other women who, you know, from the point of ovulation start to see a decrease in their strength, or they start to feel, you know, PMS and certain signs and symptoms that arise for them. So the thing that I do with women is try and educate them. So get them to track their menstrual cycle first and, you know, for them to bring awareness to how they are feeling in their menstrual cycle, because we can read books, we can read all the literature to say that this is what is happening in our bodies at particular times. Yeah. But at the end of the day, every woman experiences a different menstrual cycle and different ebbs and flows within that menstrual cycle as well.
We can't really textbook it, can we? Like, we can't, I always say this as well, I'm like, we can't really textbook, like, you're going to feel like this on day this, you're going to feel like this 5 days, because everyone's so different, like you said. Like, we can't really have a textbook plan of action because everyone's so different.
Yeah, 100%. And so as soon as, you know, as soon as women start tracking their menstrual cycle, I just, I coach them on what is happening to the body and how the hormones it can potentially be impacting our training and also our nutrition as well, because at certain times of our cycle, we do tend to crave more carbs, but we are a lot more resistant to carbs in the second half of the menstrual cycle. So, you know, upping someone's fat in that luteal phase may be more beneficial to some people, but for other people, not so much. They want to just, you know, have the carbs or whatever that is. Or, you know, if you're not tracking, maybe you just eat the carbs. If that's what you're craving, like eat them or eat the fat or whatever. So, yeah, I guess taking, I guess when women come to me, they're usually experiencing some sort of menstrual cycle dysfunction. So there is an underlying pain, dysfunction, gut health issue going on. So we really have to address that, and then their training will kind of
mold.
I think
into
training
that
is such a small part of the puzzle. A small piece of the puzzle, and that's why I got into health coaching, is because there's only so much you can do as a personal trainer. But yeah, looking at how the like what the woman is experiencing in her menstrual cycle, and just educating on how she can change and adapt her training through the cycle.
For sure. I think as well, like when you are a personal trainer, like this is what I experienced as well, is like, I want to help these people more, because like you said, training's such a small part of your whole health and life. It's obviously a really, really important part. So it's not to say that if you don't train or exercise, it won't have, you know, it won't change anything, because it obviously makes a massive difference to your health. But it's the fact that training is such a small part of just everything else in general, that if, you know, when we're going to the gym, maybe let's say, I don't know, 4 times a week, what about the other 24 hours of every single day? Like, what are we doing in that time that's going to affect us or benefit us? So I think that's such a great point to make. And you mentioned that most women come to you because they have some sort of menstrual cycle dysfunction. So let's touch on that. So how do we know if we have, you know, menstrual cycle dysfunction? I think for me, like, the education around the cycle when women are sort of growing up and getting into it is so poor that most women don't even know what to expect or what's good and what's bad.
I mean, PMS is such a, it's a blanket term for many different symptoms that we experience in our luteal phase, or for some people it's through the whole cycle. And it can look different on obviously anyone. So I guess if you're experiencing PMS and it's debilitating and it's stopping you from working or training, or you know, you're having severe mood swings, or you're in, you know, real excruciating pain, then that there's a dysfunction going on with the menstrual cycle. If you're not ovulating, that's another dysfunction. While most women don't ovulate 12 months of the year, it's not normal to consecutively miss ovulation. You may miss one or two throughout the year, and that's perfectly normal, but on, you know, consecutively, that's a bit of a red flag. And then things like heavy bleeding, migraines is a big one that I see a lot, headaches, mood swings, and then you've got your things like PCOS, endo, that kind of stuff as well. So I could go on. I've seen so many different signs and symptoms, and I've experienced them myself before in the past as well. So,
I think it's not,
that's what women,
Sorry about that. No, it's, I think it's, there's no sort of like exhaustive list, is there? Like, it's kind of like there's so many different things that can link with the body, and we can't have like a block list of things, because someone that's something that someone else experiences could be related, whereas someone else may have never experienced it or never will experience that. So, like you said, like, you know, you could go on and on about all the signs and symptoms, but most, I would, you know, probably 100% of women have experienced some sort of PMS in their life. But I think the important part, which I always try and talk about, is the fact that there's a fine line between having some, you know, slight changes around your bleed, because our hormones have dropped. We probably are not going to feel, or possibly for, you know, different people, maybe I know for myself, I'm not going to feel as amazing on day one of my bleed as I am just before ovulation. But it doesn't mean that debilitating PMS is normal. So I think a massive thing that we, you know, most women need to understand is that, you know, painkillers every day of your period isn't normal. But What is normal PMS? What would you describe as kind of the fine line between having, you know, a normal bit of PMS and then kind of like crossing that line into being dysfunctional?
Yeah. Really good question. So and this is just a personal like preference. This is no like reading out of a book or anything like that. But I would kind of say like normal PMS symptoms are you are going to experience some sort of mood. I don't want to say like you won't, not necessarily mood swings. Mm. I think severe mood swings is definitely not normal, but you will feel a slump in energy and mood. So if that feels like it's you withdrawing or going inwards a little bit more, you know, wanting to be alone, then that's perfectly normal. And I talk about the inner seasons with my clients as well. Yeah. And that's going a little bit deeper, but talking about the inner seasons of a cycle and, you know, we're preparing to shed our uterine lining. Mm-hmm. So it is a time where we go within, you know, in the old days, women used to come together to bleed and be together so they could support one another in this situation. So I think like your mood changing like that is normal.
Yeah.
A slight bit of cramping for a few hours is actually normal as well. Mm-hmm. I taking painkillers for pain or cramping is definitely not normal. Like for me, that's a red flag. So, and it shouldn't, the cramping shouldn't go on for days on end either. So
no, I totally agree.
Obviously the bleed comes into it as well. So
for sure. Yeah. 100%. And I think like so many women have been conditioned to think that painful periods is just, I always say women have been conditioned to think that, you know, having a painful period is just part of being a woman. And I think so many of us have just thought, oh, it's just the downsides of being a woman and having a period. Like we just get pain around our period. And I'm like, you don't need to be like that. Like we're not meant to be in pain for 25% of the month, every single month. Like it's just 100%. So not normal. And it's, we shouldn't have to be in pain for 25% of the month. Like that's a lot considering possibly before a woman's period as well, she may not be feeling amazing too. So that's a big chunk of the month. And it's, you know,
and you can see why women want to go on like the contraceptive, like 100%. On the pill or something like that to mitigate these, signs and symptoms when really it is just a band-aid, for those signs and symptoms. So
definitely.
Sorry.
we both got so much to talk about. I think as well, like I think part of this is lack of education. I think there's two things here. I think we don't appreciate our periods because we don't understand them. And then number two, we don't understand that the signs that are coming out of our body is actually trying to tell us something that internally we may need to give it a little bit more attention. But we don't understand these things when we're, you know, maybe 14, that we go to the doctor because we trust them. We've grown up to think that, you know, and not that they're not, but we do grow up to think doctors are, you know, someone authoritative that we should listen to, we should trust everything they say. And you go to the doctor when you're 14 and the only thing you get offered for your problems is the pill. So we obviously take that because that's what we've been given by someone we trust, and we don't know enough about our own bodies at that age, which we probably should, to be able to fight against that, I guess. So I think that that's sort of a big problem as well. And we don't understand how the pill works. So many women don't understand what it's doing. And that's another thing as well. It's like we're taking it, but we're not understanding what is actually happening within the body.
Yeah. And on that note as well, like when like women, young women, first starting out, it will first start to get their period.
Yeah.
They are going to experience painful periods and they are going to experience heavy periods because for the first couple of cycles, and that can go on for even a year, you may not ovulate and that's perfectly normal as well. So you do have an excess of estrogen that is causing these heavier bleeds, maybe potentially painful bleeds. So there are, it's like the same thing happens as we go through perimenopause as well. So I think we need to educate women that some of these things that are happening, yes, we need to keep an eye on them so they're not happening, you know, throughout our whole life,
mm-hmm.
but that some of them are normal for a young girl as she starts to get her period. Some of the pain and the heavy bleeding is kind of normal for that time in that woman's life.
100%. I think that's such an important point to make, and it's something that I speak about as well. I think understanding that, you know, when we ovulate, we produce progesterone, right? So for someone who's possibly in the middle of their reproductive years, should be having healthy cycles, if we're seeing those red flags, one thing that we could put it down to would possibly be the imbalance between estrogen and progesterone, whether there's too little progesterone, too much estrogen, depending, and obviously that relates to gut and clearance and everything else, which is such a big rabbit hole to go down. But when you are obviously a teenager just getting your period, like you said, you may not ovulate for the first few months or the year, which means we're not actually producing that progesterone to counterbalance the estrogen. And the same thing happens with perimenopause, and that's why it's called the second puberty, because the hormonal patterns that we see are actually fairly similar, and that's why we notice the same kind of symptoms. So do you think that that's one of the problems is, you know, women are kind of going through something that should be fairly normal at that age, but instead they're kind of putting, like, being put on the pill to, you know, eliminate them?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a few different, yes, they're experiencing some of those symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think back when you're that age, I know that when I was that age as well, I would be eating like shit behind my parents' back. Like, I'd be eating sugar and, like,
yeah,
you know, being 14 or 13 or 12, like, you know, you hang out with your friends and you may eat all the crap. And I was a swimmer at the time, and I remember I was just eating all the carbs. And so a lot of other factors come into it. Yes, sure. Like nutrition, and that can definitely play a massive role. But yeah, some of those symptoms or those signs that a young woman is experiencing, like the pain and the heavy bleeds, I'm going to say they're normal. Like they are normal. Yes, you want to make sure that you're they don't want to be like that for too long.
Yeah.
Because then obviously there could potentially be an imbalance there, but I'm going to say, yeah, some of those symptoms are normal at that time.
For sure. 100%. And I think it's something to be aware of, but it's, for me, it's frustrating to see that there's no education. Like, I know so many women that don't even know what perimenopause is. And it's like, I didn't know what perimenopause was until maybe, I don't know, a year or two ago. It's like,
yeah,
why are we not taught about this? And I said to someone, I think a couple months ago, I said, oh, you know, I think you might be going through perimenopause. Like, the symptoms sound, let's have a little bit of a dig deeper. She goes, oh, early menopause. No. I've been tested for it. I don't have early menopause. And I think we have to distinguish the difference between perimenopause and menopause, because they're completely two different phases. But the problem is it's not them not knowing the problem. It's the fact that we're never taught about any of this. We get taught, you know, okay, you're going to get your period. You're going to have it for about 20, 30 years, whatever it is. And then you're going to basically go through menopause. That's it. Your periods will stop. We don't get taught about the transition through menopause and what happens, or the transition into healthy cycles, or what a healthy cycle is. And it's quite frustrating. I just wish that there was more that we could, that there was more education for women that are going through getting their period, so they, one, know what to expect, and two, appreciate what their body's doing. Because so many of us, I think for me, when I was younger, I didn't have a period for 2 years because I had hypothalamic amenorrhea, and I thought it was the best thing ever. I was like, oh my god, no period, woo! And like, all my friends were like, oh my god, you're so lucky you don't have a period, like all this stuff. And like, we were like 15, none of us obviously understood the period. Whereas now, if you know, I'm like making sure my period's on time, I'm like, yes, my period's, like, you get so much satisfaction for like a good period, whereas before I'd like dread it because I didn't know what was going on. I didn't appreciate it.
Yeah. And I think once you understand the hormones that you are exposed to when you are, and the benefits of those hormones in the menstrual cycle, then you start to kind of worship your cycle a little bit more, because you know, we're not going to have access to progesterone for our whole life. Mm-hmm. So I always say to women, like, your menstrual cycle now is setting you up for what's to come later on in life. So I think if we start educating women more on that and the benefits of estrogen and progesterone and having a healthy menstrual cycle, then it'll set them up for life.
No, I completely agree. And I think for me, the best thing I read, or one of the best things I read that really made me like appreciate and like, you know, like you said, worship your period and cycle, is I think it was Lara Brydon in one of her books said, every healthy menstrual cycle you have in your reproductive years, ovulating, that progesterone goes into like a bank of long-term health. And I was just like, holy shit, like that is so insane, because the years that we're having periods, we don't, you know, a lot of us don't know what's going on or don't appreciate them, but when you put it like that, that's going to set you up past even having a period anymore. It's so powerful. Like, it's actually insane how powerful like your menstrual cycle actually is. And you know, so much can disturb it, but we obviously want to take care of it to be as healthy as we can, obviously, to get the benefits of the hormones and also the long-term health benefits too. So I think what's really important is, one, how do we maintain a healthy menstrual cycle? And two, how do we know if we have a menstrual healthy menstrual cycle?
Yeah, I guess, first of all, like, start tracking, and this only goes for people that aren't obviously on contraceptive drugs. So start tracking your cycle, but more importantly, start tracking ovulation, because we know that we can have a menstrual cycle. We know that we can have a period without actually ovulating. So ovulation is the main thing that you want to be tracking, and the way you do that, there are a few different ways, but looking at cervical mucus, basal body temperature, and I also use cervix positioning as well. So looking at those kind of things, and then trying to understand if you actually are ovulating, and then what your bleed's like as well. So your bleed can say a lot, because if it is heavy and it's like 7 days and it's heavy, then maybe you're not ovulating, because we know that progesterone thins the lining of the uterus. So it you know, estrogen thickens it, progesterone thins it. We need progesterone to make sure that we don't have such a heavy period. So ovulation first and foremost, and then how we have, you know, like what dictates having a healthy menstrual cycle. Stress is going to be a big one, and whether that is environmental or, you know, like lifestyle, whatever that may be. So addressing stress in your life, training is also a stress as well. And obviously nutrition is a big one. I find women under eat certain macros, and protein being one of them. And then making sure that you're like, I had this conversation today with some with a friend, and just getting more nutrient dense protein in your diet, because women are very much drawn to things like chicken and fish and turkey and those lean cuts of meats that aren't that nutrient dense. So I'm always telling women to eat more red meat, eat more organ meat.
It's an interesting,
if you don't like organ meat, you can supplement.
Honestly, like, I've tried to like it, and I need to find a way, because I know it's so good for me, but I'm like, I just can't.
Do you like pate?
I can't. Like, I think the psychological thought of knowing that it's what it is, just when I like try and eat it, I just can't. So I think what I saw someone said was like to cut up organ meats and then mix it in with like mint so that you don't notice it as much. I'm going to have to try that. But I think that's a good point to make. And when I was growing up, I used to cut out red meat because, you know, everyone was like, oh, it gives you cancer. You know, it's bad for you. It does this, it does that. So I was very influential when I was younger, and anything someone said, I'd be like, oh my God, okay, I need to cut that out. So I used to cut out red meat so much, and so many women do. They're like, oh, I don't really eat much red meat. You know, it's not very good for you. And that's another problem. Like, we need to sort of, why is there such a big societal thing that women can't have red meat? Like, I think it stems from old myths, but it's actually so good for you.
Yeah, I think it's the diet culture as well. Like
100%.
When women go on diets, they cut out leaner meats and they cut out fattier meats and tend to opt for the leaner cuts of meat. But yeah, it is a funny one. Like, yeah, I probably eat every day.
Yeah, honestly, like,
so,
I totally agree. Yeah, I think that's a good point to make. And with sort of what, like, going back to where you were talking about tracking your cycle, I think it's important to just note for the listeners that, you know, if you, the reason that Faye said, obviously, if you're not on contraceptive drugs, was because you don't ovulate when you're on hormonal contraceptives. So you can track your, you know, you can track your cycle, but we know that you probably aren't going to ovulate except for in, I think it's the copper IUD, I can't talk today. IUD, isn't IUD. It?
Yeah.
So there will be some, like, very small exceptions, but if you're on the pill, you know, any hormonal forms like the rod or the injection or whatever it might be, you probably aren't ovulating, or you most definitely aren't ovulating all the time. So we can't really track ovulation, of course, if you are on those contraceptive drugs. So if that's the main part of the cycle, I mean, you can still track your cycle, but we won't be able to determine ovulation with, you know, temperature, mucus, and cervix positioning. And I think one of the main side effects of the pill is actually vaginal dryness. So we probably won't see any cervical mucus patterning while we're on it anyway. So I just thought that was important just to chuck in there in case anyone's wondering why we can't track our cycle when we're on.
Yeah, and cervical mucus is a hard one as well, and that's why you need to use basal body temperature alongside it. So cervical mucus can be fertile or infertile as well. So that's why you need to track your basal body temperature alongside your cervical mucus, because you can experience cervical mucus and not ovulate.
Of course.
So they kind of go hand in hand. So fertile mucus. A non-fertile mucus does exist, but yeah, you kind of use the basal body temperature as like the wingman to cervical mucus. So
for sure, I always kind of say
wing woman.
I always kind of say, like, fertile cervical mucus, you know, obviously we can have both, but fertile cervical mucus is a really good sign. It doesn't determine that you've actually ovulated, but we kind of use, you know, basal body temperature to confirm that ovulation, and we use the fertile cervical mucus as kind of like your fertile sort of period of days. So I think that's it's an awesome way to get to know your body as well. A lot of people, you know, I remember when we were at school, like, a lot of people thought, like, no one knew what cervical mucus was. Everyone thought it was gross. You know, no one actually understood it. And I see memes all the time of first, like, cervical mucus in underwear and stuff. And it's, yes, it's obviously been made into, like, memes and stuff, but I don't think people understand what it is and how we can use that as such a big sign for the body that it's functioning well. I think like noticing those signs and notice or being able to confirm that you're ovulating is such a powerful tool for you to not only get to know your body, but know that the inside of your body is functioning as we want it to. And with ovulation as well, we can't say, okay, I'm going to ovulate tomorrow. We can't, unfortunately, do that. We can, you know, obviously if you're tracking via an app, you will see on the app, oh, you're going to ovulate in 2 days. We can't take that as definite, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, apps are just there to kind of give you a rough, like, guide of where you're at. But I always tell women to track, you know, take just like we would with, like, you know, if we were going on a diet or something, or we're trying to change body composition, you need metrics. So, you know, if we were doing, like, I'll take body composition because that's, you know, easy. But if we were trying to lose weight, we would take measurements, we would weigh ourselves, we would do check-in photos. The same goes for your period. So you take your basal body temperature, you track your mucus, you track how long your luteal phase is, because that tells us a lot as well.
Sure.
And you track how long your overall cycle is, and you track what your bleed is like as well. So all these things are telling us stuff about our menstrual cycle. There are apps out there where you can put a lot of this information in, and it's a lot more data driven. Sure. So it's driven by the data that you input into it. So yeah. things like Kindara, yeah. Things like Read Your Body, they're all kind of data, they're based off the data that you input.
Yeah.
But then we've obviously got apps that are more algorithm based, which aren't as kind of
in depth,
what do you call it? Yeah. Well, they're not correct as such. Yeah.
Yeah, like
they're not just, reliable.
No, I was looking for 100%. Like we can't. I think it's important to note we can't use those apps if you know as confirming ovulation, because we cannot confirm ovulation without using the other signs with just an app. We can't. We just literally, it's impossible. So, I think that's a really good point to make. And where Faye said about you know going through the length of your follicular phase, the length of your luteal phase, how your bleed is. When we spoke about what a healthy cycle looks like, there's not really a textbook this, but tracking all these things can give you such a important input of what your cycle's looking like, and that's how we can kind of see if we're having a healthy cycle or not. So I'm like, I don't know what you go off of, Faye, but I always say sort of like 4 to 7 days is still a normal period. Obviously, we don't want it to be too heavy, but if we're bleeding for longer than 7 days or possibly too short, that could be a red flag to look into. So if you're able to track these things, you can get to know what your cycle's looking like at each phase, and we can use all of that data collection to actually understand what's going on with our body and if we need to go further.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I kind of go off the same similar days as yourself. I use like, it depends what the person is for using sure. as well. Like, are they using a menstrual cup or are they using tampons? Because that sure. can kind of change the bleed duration as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I kind of, it's not so much how long the bleed is, mm-hmm. but it's more how heavy it is or how light it is. Because yeah. if it's light, there's issues going on there as well. Yeah. So lack exactly. of estrogen. But but again, if it's heavy and it's 5 days, then that's still a red flag.
Yeah.
If it's yeah. light and it's 2 days, that's a red flag as well. So
for sure.
You know, looking at the bleed with the duration as well kind awesome. Of goes hand in hand.
Definitely. And I think, you know, looking at like for me, a healthy menstrual cycle, it never used to be a priority, but now it's something I value a lot. Having a healthy menstrual cycle is something I prioritize, and it's something that I want a lot of other women to prioritize as well and understand how beneficial they are for us. How can we, you know, if we do notice a red flag with our cycles, what's the next steps we can take? I know obviously, you know, unfortunately, when we go to the doctor, we only get offered the pill, which we know stops our cycle. If we want to keep our cycles and we value having our menstrual cycle, what steps can we take when that's the kind of dead end we get to?
Yeah, this is a good one. I guess the most cost-effective way to dive deeper into what is potentially going on behind the scenes, like mm-hmm. inside, blood work is always a cost-effective way mm-hmm. to look into what is going on within the body, whether it be nutrient deficiencies, whether it be you know, hormone, thyroid, that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. blood work is really good. The only hard part is getting your doctor to do that blood work, but there are ways around that. You can order your own blood work online these days
for sure.
And then also kind of addressing any underlying gut issues as well, because, you know, the gut does drive a lot of the disease that we come across and the dysfunction that we come across mm-hmm. in life. So addressing that. But yeah, I would definitely start with blood work. Getting a female hormone panel alone isn't enough. You yeah. need a full blood work, and that's everything. That's insulin, that's female hormone panel, that's sure. liver, electrolytes, full yeah. blood count,
yeah, and the reason for that
cholesterol
is
panel,
exactly 100%. And we can't just go off of the hormones, because we need to see how the other points of your, like your blood markers, they kind of relate to each other. So, you know, we can't look at something and be like, oh, okay, you know, that's a little bit high, but it's okay, because that could relate to another marker that we may need to know about. So that's why it's really important to try and make sure you do get full panels. And work with someone who you trust and you know is going to give you the options to better your health in a different way if you don't want to take the conventional path that is often just a prescription. So I think that's a really important part to make. And last one as well, I think would be quickly interesting to go through, because I think a lot of people don't understand how our gut can impact our whole body. So like, you know, you just mentioned the gut is such a big role in hormone health, whole body health, even immune health and stuff like that. What's kind of the problem is, I think as well, is that with the gut, people don't know that signs aren't just direct to your stomach. So just because you don't experience bloating or, you know, whatever other gut signs we tend to assume that it's directly correlated, that doesn't mean that you don't have a gut problem, right?
Yeah. I mean, things like allergies, psoriasis, eczema, they're all kind of things that aren't necessarily gut related. Like, we're not feeling it in the gut, but they're signs and symptoms to tell us that, hey, there's something going on here that we need to address. So it could be hay fever. You've all of a sudden started getting the seasonal hay fever, or you've become allergic to your neighbor's dog or something like that. Like, they're all kind of red flags that something is going on in the gut. Yeah, so definitely looking at the gut as far as, you know, hormones go. And if the gut is compromised in any way, whether it be bacterial overgrowth, some sort of dysbiosis or something, leaky gut, then you're not going to absorb nutrients. You could have the cleanest, healthiest diet, but if you're not absorbing those nutrients, then that can impact your hormones as well. So
100%.
Yeah, definitely addressing the gut.
I think that's so important because, you know, just because we possibly have maybe something going on with our menstrual cycle, we can't look directly in the one spot because, like we just spoke about, you know, the gut can play a role in that. Other hormones, other markers in your bloods can play a role. So we can't directly sort of look at where the symptom is. It's like if you had bloating, we can't directly just look at that. We need to look at other things as well because your body actually is so amazing. It works in, like, everything works together in your body. And I think when you understand that, I think one of the things that made me really, like, mind blown was the movie Root Cause. Have you seen it?
I don't think I have. Root Cause. No, I haven't.
It's actually, it wasn't what I expected. It's about root canals. But in the movie, they talk about how your teeth are related to, like, your whole body. And I was like, this is insane. Like, your whole body is literally linked up. And when you kind of watch things like that, you realize how important it is that we have optimal health because our bodies work together. So just because you're experiencing something, you know, here doesn't mean that it's directly from there. It could be from elsewhere. So I think that's such an important point.
Yeah. Like when I'm dealing with clients or when I'm onboarding a new client, you should see my intake form. Like, it is literally, it's lengthy because I ask all these symptoms that you don't think are
relevant,
like the teeth, like you don't think that they're associated with the gut, but it's things like, do you have cavities?
Yeah.
Do you have fillings? That kind of stuff, because they can all play a role in what is going on in the body. So I've got this long list of signs and symptoms that people go, like, whether they've experienced it in the past or they're experiencing it now, they either tick it and it kind of gives me an indication of what is going on in the body. And then I pair that with the blood work and then go from there.
And that's why we kind of call it integrative health, because everything comes together and works together for your health. Like you just said, if you have, you know, anything going on with your teeth, like, that can relate to other stuff, which we probably would never think about. So it's amazing how your body works. And if you haven't seen Root Cause, would definitely recommend. But such an awesome chat with you, Faye. Such a great chat. Really think that this is going to be useful. So where can we find you? Where can everyone come and find you? Website, social media, wherever you are based?
Yeah, so I guess the best place is probably Instagram. I'm on Instagram as Cycle Sisters, so at Cycle Sisters. I do have another one, Faye Sheridan, but that's more of like me training and
bit of everything.
I have started sharing a little bit more on there, but I started Cycle Sisters, so it was just predominantly education for women. So if you do want to learn more about your cycle on there, you can head over to there. And that's pretty much it.
What I'll do is I'll put Faye's Instagrams in the little text box below anyway, so you can find her there. But thank you so much for joining me, Faye. I'm really, really excited to get this out there.
Thank you so much for having me. So
thanks, guys. See you later.
Yeah, for sure.